Praise God. Let's turn to our Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. As we've been announcing for the past several weeks now, this is Family Week coming up. We usually do this once a year, leading up to Father's Day. And we used to do it one time leading up to Mother's Day, but it was too cold at the time of year to do anything. So we moved it a month down the road. And so anyway, we've have some different things planned for this week, as you know, in the bulletin, different things. So we encourage you to be part of that. And so we're going to change the message a little bit this morning and deal with something that would concern our families, I think, not only families, but even our Christian walk. And so we're going to look at that. Just one verse we're looking at, but we're going to look at a couple of them here, but just going to center in on one. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. Now I'm reading from the New King James, so maybe a little different what you have there. It says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love." And then he says, "I urge you, brethren, and you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow together and ask God's direction. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning for the privilege of being able to come into your presence. Thank you for the goodness of God, the mercy, the love, the grace of God. Thank you, Father, for everyone that's here this morning, every family that's represented, Lord. And as we focus this week on families, we just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would just help us to understand the importance of the family and standing for our family and believing you to minister. So, Father, we give you praise this morning, and we just covet your anointing right now. And, Father, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're just going to look at verse 13, but notice here, first of all, in verse 15, he says, "I urge you, brethren, that you know the household of Stephanas," or the family of Stephanas, we would say in our terminology today. As a matter of fact, a lot of translations got there, you know the family of Stephanas. And he said, they were the first converts in Achaia. And God is interested in families. And I can remember the first year we were here, we did it because we've always done this in previous churches we've been at regards to the family week. And the first year we were here, I did up a little booklet type of thing with some devotions in there and different things, and called it Fight for the Family. And I believe it's important for us to fight for the family. And there's nothing that's under attack, I don't believe, any more than the family unit. And if the devil can destroy the family, he can destroy the church, he can destroy society, destroy the country, and destroy everything. So God has orchestrated it and made it in such a way that the family is a small unit, but you stand with one another, and if the family falls apart, everything else falls apart. And so we're going to look at a few things here this morning, a few thoughts here. And we're just going to take, as I said, verse 13 there. And Paul gives us four different exhortations that we should be conscious of. And we're going to touch on these. But first of all, I just want to give you a little bit of a background. Paul was a pastor of Corinth for about a year and a half. He was there, founded the church, and got a number of people saved. Now, Corinth was a pagan, probably one of the most pagan cities of that day. There was all kinds of temple prostitution going on in the different things going on there. There were all kinds of idol worships systems that were going on there. And so Paul, as you go through the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, you find these things. And these people at times were very harsh towards Paul and criticized him about his apostleship and different things, and you'll find out, and here's something important to understand. When it comes to serving God, when it comes to living the Christian life and standing for our families and all these different things, popularity is not the issue that we're dealing with. It's endurance. And Paul knew how to endure. And because it's easy for us, if we're just going for things that are popular, we'll just, you know, everybody, just a flash in the pan, we say sometimes. You know, everybody is just all excited about something for a few days, and then once the excitement is gone, they're gone. But, you know, when it comes to serving God, endurance is the thing that's important. The Apostle Paul, I mean, he was criticized by the churches in Galatia. He was criticized by the church in Corinth, the one that he founded here. And this letter, they tell us, was written probably 4 years after the church was founded, so just a new church. And There was a lot of things that were going on in that church that wasn't right. Paul was stoned everywhere he went. He was ridiculed. He was criticized. But Paul knew what it was to be standing firm and to endure when it comes to all the different battles. Matter of fact, he said to Timothy one time, he said, endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at these. There's just 4 points I'm going to touch on here that Paul talks about in verse 13. He said, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. We're just going to touch on these for a few moments this morning. Matter of fact, in the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, that there's a special blessing associated with being persecuted for the gospel's sake, and being reviled for his sake. So when it comes to the Christian walk and standing for your family, and this is, as I said, the beginning of the family week, the family is the most important thing to you on this planet beside God. And we need to understand that. That's your most challenging thing, and the devil will fight you more there, and he'll cause more arguments in your family about stupid stuff, and you just miss a good place to say amen, because everybody, we've all gone through that. You fight over stuff that's not even important, in the family, because you're so close to one another, and sometimes you just bug each other. And I preached a message one time before. The good news about the church is we're like a family, but the bad news about the church too is we're a family. So whichever way you look at it, it's good news and bad news. We're a family, and family has good times, they have bad times, but you know what it's like when it comes down to the crunch. The family should stick together. And so the Apostle Paul was writing to the church here in Corinth, and as I said, he knew what it was like to stand firm. Now, I just want to give you that verse from a couple more translations. The Living Bible says, this is verse 13 here now in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The Living Bible puts it this way, keep your eyes open for spiritual danger. Stand true to the Lord, act like men, and be strong. The Amplified says it this way, be alert and on guard, stand firm in your faith, in your conviction, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, keeping the trust and holy fervor born of faith and a part of it, act like men, be courageous, and grow in strength. And the Holman Christian Standard Bible says it this way, be alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong. Now we're going to look at these four different exhortations this morning, and when it comes to our family, when it comes to standing for your family, these are some of the things, or these are the things that we must do in order to have a successful family, successful church, or even a successful Christian life. We need to take these admonishments and go with them. Now these are commands that a church could use, a Christian could use, a family could use. And if you go back to the first century when Paul gave these were military terms that were very common, very understandable in that day. And the first century Christians would understand those terms to be military terms. And so this is what Paul is telling them, that you have to stand guard for your family. Now every one of us here relate to this, because every one of us are part of a family somewhere. Now, some of us, we may have half-decent families. Somebody else, your family may be in all kinds of trouble and all kinds of problems and dysfunctional and all these different things, but you're still part of a family. And, in God's eyes, God put you in that family for a particular reason. And we need to understand it. And I know there's times, sometimes we mess things up ourselves, we throw things off course, but in the bottom of everything, God's got a plan and a purpose for family. And, whichever way your family is today, trust God to give you direction where you are right now. Now, I know there's some, and you can talk to any congregation, you'll find this. There's some that's got good families that, there don't seem to be any problems. That's on the outside. We used to joke with our children sometimes when they were small. We'd be in the car going down, and we're going to visit somebody, and they're all rowdy and shouting and screaming, little children and stuff like that. And we used to joke with them and say, now be quiet. As far as everybody knows, we're a nice family. So sometimes you got to do that to your family sometimes. Let's put off a good front here, because we're not always arguing and fighting and everything else, but sometimes, there are times when you bug each other. First of all, let's look at the first one. He said, be watchful, or the Holman translation says it, be alert. And as Christians, and again, you know, we're coming up to Father's Day, and next week, and I'll say this, next week we have Days of Grace with us, a singing group coming in, and they're doing the service, so we won't be doing a sermon as such, but they'll be doing some sharing in between and different things. So this is probably more or less to Father's Day in one sense, but it's for all of us, okay? So don't just throw it over your shoulder to someone else. This is for all of us. But to be on guard and to watch, and as I said, this is a military term. How many remember looking at old Western movies? Now, I used to love those one time. That's what interested them now, but I used to love them one time. John Wayne movies and things like this. And, you know, sometimes you see them and they're, you know, there's outlaws and in-laws. There's outlaws and there's good people, you know, and they're fighting and different things. And usually when there's a battle going on, or sometimes a war movie or whatever the case might be, and they'll settle down for the night and they'll say, now who's going to take the first watch? You put someone on watch that night to keep an eye out while the rest can sleep in peace, and it'll take probably an hour or two. Then someone else to get up and take over, and you know, things like this. And this is what this term means. Be watchful, be alert, stand on guard, and be careful for the things that are coming against your family, coming against you spiritually, coming against the church spiritually. We need to be on guard against these things. And this is what he's telling us to do. In the Bible, Bible tells in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, he said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. We don't know what time Jesus is coming back. You know, back a few years ago, used to be a lot of preaching about the second coming, and man, you'd go home from a service late, and you were afraid you weren't going to make it home before Jesus came, you know, because it was preached so powerfully that we understood it. And if you went home and you walked into your house and, you know, your parents weren't there or something like that, I mean, you'd run through the house, you'd be screaming, you'd be all nervous, and if you tried to phone around and couldn't find them, I mean, you were really nervous because the rapture took place and, you know, you're left behind. And but Jesus tells us, he said, be watchful. You know, this is one thing as Christians we need to understand, that we must always be on the alert. The Bible says we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. We shouldn't be ignorant of his tricks and his manipulations and everything else. He'll use anything he can to get in and try to destroy the family. So he's telling us, be watchful. Jesus said, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house, or in other words, the owner of the house, had known at what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. He said, if he had known when the thief was coming, he would have been alert and stood ground, and would not have allowed his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He tells us always to be watchful for the coming of the Lord, to be watchful for the devil's maneuvers and tricks against the family. We must always be watchful. Sometimes, you know, as children, when your children are growing up we've all gone through this growing up as children, as teenagers. Sometimes, you know, teenagers look at us and they say, oh, you fellows are so old. And I can understand that feeling, because I always thought that same thing. You know, we were talking a little while ago, when we got married, my wife's parents were 45 years old. I thought they were the oldest people in the world. You know, 45. You know, and how old to be 45 again? You know? Now, some of you are looking, you say, 45, man, that's so far out in the future. Well, you know the problem we've always found? And everyone here can tell you the same thing. Once you reach that milestone, you look back and say, man, where'd the time go? It seems like you got there in 2 weeks, you know, when you look back over your life, you know. And so we need to always be alert, because there's always things that are going to come in and try to steal our family from us. So there are times when the children, you know, we'll say to them, now don't do that. We've done that when we are your age. Or, you know, we know people that have you know, and I can remember when we were growing up, every time I went to do something, Mom said, oh, you know, I had a cousin that did that, this happened to him. And, you know, and you know, a lot of you are smiling because you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you fellows went through the same thing. You know, and we think, well, that was way back in the old days. You know, we think that life was so different that, you know, circumstances were so different that can't happen anymore. No, it happens. You know, it's just different people, you know, at different times, but these things still happen. So there's times when you see your child heading in a certain direction and you say, now don't do that. Don't hang around with that person. Don't go to that place. Don't be involved with that. Don't buy that. Don't get involved there. Don't do this. And as children, sometimes we thought, well, they just don't want us to have any fun. They just don't want us to live our lives. They're trying to control us, you know. But we need to be alert and always stand on guard. Again, in 1 Thessalonians, he tells us again, he said, to watch, be sober, don't sleep as others. You know, these are the things he's telling us. Don't be asleep like others. There's a lot of people in the world that, you know, their children grow up and nobody cares about them. If they show up for supper time, they show up, not at all. Nobody cares where they're at or things like this. You know, the parents go to bed nighttime and don't care where their children are. You know, we need to, as Christians, we need to be more conscious of the dangers that are out there. I'm not talking about going around in fear all the time, but I'm talking about we need to stand guard for our children. We need to always be alert when we see the enemy trying to get in somehow. You know, if for instance, in one of those Western movies that we talked about, you know, or some war movie or whatever the case might be in a real situation, if, for instance, everyone is asleep here, you're looking after, you know, you're standing on guard and everybody is asleep, and you see some people that are moving around, you say, well, I don't think there's much to that. You know, and if all of a sudden these people break through, who's held responsible? The person that's supposed to be on guard. You know, and there's a lot of things that come against our families, and I know as your children get older, they're not going to listen to you as much and things like that, and they have their own personality, their own ideals, and their own thoughts and everything else, and they think you're crazy and all. But to the best of your ability, you need to stand against what the enemy is trying to do in your family. Fight for the family. And so he tells us to be alert. Number two, he says, stand firm. And again, this is a military term. And again, if you put that picture there again, they see somebody out there, you know, moving around in the darkness, they don't just run and hide. He said, no, stand firm. You know, if you're the guard out there and the minute you see something happening, you take off and hide from it, you know, you're no help. He says, stand firm. And this is what he's saying here, stand firm. And what some of the other translations, hold your ground. Another translation, don't back down. Hold the enemy off. And then he says, stand firm in the faith. Now, what does it mean to stand firm in the faith? You know, as believers, again, we need to be very careful that somewhere, and I understand some people can do this easier than others, and I understand that, but we need to do to the best of our ability to train our children to grow up to love and serve God and to know the importance of respect and respecting our elders and respecting authority over us and different things. I heard somebody say one time, if you don't teach your children to respect authority when they're young, somebody else will teach them when they get older. They'll end up in problems. You understand that? So we need to be careful. Don't back down when we see the enemy coming against our families. Oh my, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to throw up my hands and forget about it. No, you stand in there. Endurance is what counts. He that endures to the end, the Bible says, shall be saved. Stand firm in the faith. In other words, know what you believe and why you believe it. Don't believe it just because the pastor is saying it. Believe it because you see it in God's word. This is why it's important sometimes, you know, and I keep harping on this, but and I probably always will. It's important to look when we're preaching or anything else or somebody teaching or something, look up the scriptures yourself. It'll sink in deeper, it'll get down, rooted down into your spirit more once you see it yourself and see what this is what God's word is saying. See it in black and white or red and white, whatever is there, and understand it, that this is God's word and not just what the pastor is saying, not just what our church says, not just what our denomination believes or anything else, but this is God's word. You know, and we need to understand that and get it down into our hearts. And as parents, we need to know what we believe. And you say, well, you know, I've never been much good at Bible memory. You know, how many is doing the Wednesday course? Everybody loves the memory verses. Anyway, but you know, sometimes we say, you know, I could never understand. I can't remember where that's at in the Bible. I can't remember how to explain that. I can't remember this. Well, this is why we do these things. This is why we have Bible studies. This is why we have all these things, to help us to train ourselves to know where things are at in God's word. And we need to have that. You know, so when he's talking about here, stand firm in the faith, what he's saying is know what you believe. Stand up for what you believe. Don't back down. Don't be a sissy. Have a backbone. Stand up for it. And you can go on and talk about different things. I mean, there are some things that, you know, as believers that are not heaven and hell situations. You know, some people can believe in healing, some people don't. That's not going to take you to heaven or take you to hell. You know, but there are some essentials that you have to believe. Number one, you got to believe this is God's word. You can't believe this is just a good book. I know sometimes people say, oh, well, a good book says. This is more than just a good book. You can read a good book in the library anywhere. This is God's word. You know, you understand what I'm saying? We need to understand this is not just a book that contains things about God. This is God Himself speaking to us. And we need to get that down to our hearts and understand it make this a part of our lives. This is God's Word. There's no compromise in that. Some people say, oh, no, I believe, you know, in reading some other religious book. Let me say this. Now, I read devotionals and all these different things, and I'm sure you do as well. You got them on your phones and iPads and everything else. That's fine. But don't let devotionals or Christian books take the place of God's Word. Okay? Go back to the foundation. Go back to the roots of it. You know what it's like sometimes? You're measuring stuff and you're cutting off, say you got to cut off some 2x4s for, you know, building a house or something. You've got to have one that's the master one. If you're using the same one for the measurement, because if you don't, if you just, well, I'll take next one and mark the next one, pretty soon you're going to end up 2 or 3 inches longer than the first one. You've got to have one that's the foundation. You've got to have one that's the master marker. And this is what it's like with God's Word. You can read all kinds of different opinions. People got this opinion about this scripture, this opinion about something else, but you need to understand God's Word yourself. Okay, stand firm in the faith. So when people say, you know, well, one religion is as good as the other, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe something, as long as you got some good morals. Well, that's nice to say, but it's not true. You know, you have to believe that the Bible is God's Word. Another thing you have to believe, you have to believe that your salvation is based totally on what Jesus did. Not on anything you can do. It's not of works, lest anyone would boast. It's by grace you're saved through faith. You know, we say sometimes it's by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the only way for salvation. The Word of God says there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. Jesus Himself said, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. These are foundational things that we need to understand. We need to understand why we believe it. We have to understand the gospel. We need to understand what salvation is all about. And when it comes to our families, we need to understand what's important for them to understand, to realize that when they grow up, it's okay when they're little children, but we need to start training them at that age. But when they grow up, they have to make their own decision for the Lord. They're not going to get to heaven because they're your child. You understand that? They're not going to make it to heaven just because they've grew up and they never caused any problem in the family. The only way they're going to get to heaven is if they accept Jesus as their own personal Lord and Savior. That's the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. Memory verse that you had last week. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become sons of God. So as we believe upon what Jesus did, by faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. There's no other way to be saved except through what Jesus did. And we need to drill that into our families, because I guarantee you when they get out and get into universities and get into all other things, there's going to be all kinds of things coming against them to try to take them away from the truth of the gospel. But we need to make sure that that's drilled into them. There's no other way except through Christ. And not through different churches. I mean, I know some, we grew up, there's no other way except our church. That's a lie. You just missed another good place to say amen. There's only one way to be saved, and that's through Christ. Doesn't matter what denomination it is. If it's not trusting in Jesus for their salvation, it's wrong. You understand that? There's only one way to be saved, and that's through Christ. So know what you believe. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received and wherein ye stand. Now notice this. He said, I preached it to you. He said, you received it, and in that gospel you stand. What is it? He said, by which also you are saved. He said, for I delivered first unto you, first of all, how that Christ died for our sins. This is another one of the scriptures you had to go through the other day in the course here. That Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and He arose again on the third day. That's foundational to the gospel. Some people say, well, Easter, I don't really believe, you know, in Easter. I don't really believe Jesus rose from the dead. I don't believe, you know, He's really, you know, in heaven right now, or this and that and everything else. Listen, you got to believe this. Paul said, this is the gospel. This is the foundational principles of the gospel. You've got to believe this. You've got to know what you believe. Stand firm in the faith. Ephesians 4. He said, there is one body, there is one spirit, even as you are called to one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and in all. We need to understand these things. He said, therefore, brethren, stand fast. He tells us to stand firm. He says, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught. Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Then he starts up with the next verse. Stand, therefore. God wants us to stand firm. When it comes to standing for your family, stand firm. Say, devil, you're not doing that to my family. You know, when the devil comes in and tries to attack you and tries to cause problems in your family. Now, I know there's times we all let down our guard, and I understand that. And the enemy do get in sometimes and cause problems. And sometimes we open the door for him, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. Remember Jesus one time when he was getting ready to go into Jerusalem and be crucified? He said, the prince of this world is coming. He's talking about the devil. He said, the prince of this world is coming. He said, but he's got no part in me. What Jesus meant by that, I've never opened the door for him to get in and do anything in my life. And we need to be the very same way. And I know, you know, we'll make mistakes. I understand that. But to the best of our ability, we need to stand firm and say, devil, this is what the word of God says, and I'm going to stand on that. Professors in university might say something else, but God says this. The Bible says they profess themselves to be wise and to become fools. But God's word is forever true. Let every man be a liar, the Bible says, but God's word is true. So know the essentials. Know what you believe. Stand firm in the faith. Number three says, act like men. Act like men. New King James says, be brave. Living Bible says, act like men. King James says, quit you like men. Now that's a little bit awkward to us today. It feels like you got to quit. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about act like men. Be strong. Act like men. Be men, New International Version says, be men of good courage. Be brave. So first of all, he tells us to be alert, stand firm. Now he's telling us, act like men, or be brave. Don't be sissy. The word there is andrizo, A-N-D-R-I-Z-O. I believe it's number 4, I forget what it was, that 447 or 487 or something like that in the Strong's Concordance. It says to make a man of. To show yourself to be a man. This is what he's saying. Let's go back to the Western movie again. You're standing guard. You're watchful. You're alert. You see something going on. You don't run and hide. You stand firm. And then he says, you don't get coward. You act like a man. You take responsibility, in other words. You do something about it. And this is what the Word of God is telling us to do with our families. Act like men. Now, women, you understand what I'm talking about. Act mature, in other words. Be an adult. Stand up and be counted. When we act like men, we must have our priorities straight. And this being Family Week, we you know. But let me say something to you. You can get mad if we want to. It doesn't matter. It's God's word anyway. As I said, it's not a popularity thing. It's an endurance thing anyway. But we need to have our priorities straight. I bet I could ask anyone here, and not only here, I shouldn't say it that way, but ask any Christian anywhere. What's the love of your life? What's the most important person in your life? We'll all say Jesus. Right? But do our actions really show that? Do our actions really show that Jesus is the love of our life? I can think of lots of illustrations, but I won't say anything because you say, oh, he's talking to me. But are there times in our lives, and you know as well as I do, there are times, when we say we love the Lord, but we'll do anything else besides serve him in a certain area sometimes. We say, I love the Lord with all my heart, but boy, I can't get up and go to church on Sunday morning. But you know, Jesus is the first one in my life. He's number one. But I don't like the way they do the services. So I'm not going. You know, we need to understand that we need to have our priorities straight. If Jesus is number one in our life, let's make him number one. As Christians, God ought to be the very first concern. What God says, what God wants, what God desires. Our priorities should be in this order: God, our family, our church, and our career. In that order. But see what a lot of people do, they put their career first. Everything else falls second, third, fourth down the line. And then we say, I wonder why my life is so messed up. If we get our priorities straight, everything else will come back in the line. You understand that? God has got to be number one in our lives. Then is our family, your spouse, your children. Then is the church. Now, let me say something there, because I've heard people say this, well, Pastor, you said it's God, the family, the church. So therefore, anything that goes on now for the family, we go to that first and leave the church last. That's not what we're saying. But we are saying, and you need to understand this, that you can't use that as an excuse not to come to church. Yeah, everybody agree with that? Some are nodding your head, some are just looking at me. I listened to Kenneth Hagin Kenneth Copeland years ago. He was telling the story. His son, he had a son, well, he still got a son, named John. And he used to say to him, John, he said, tomorrow we're getting up, we have, I don't know, to be in such and such a city for, you know, a crusade, or we're going for a prayer service, or whatever the case. And he said, you have to get up in the morning. He said, I almost have to drag him into bed. You know, just couldn't get him to, you know, kick in the gear. He said, one night, he said to him, he said, John, tomorrow, he said, we're getting up early. He said, we're going fishing. He said, next morning, he said, John was up knocking on the bedroom door. Dad, you up yet? You up yet? See, where's our priorities? Now, I'm not trying to be critical of all these little things, but you understand what I'm saying. What do we really love? Is God number one in our lives? Or is everything too much trouble to serve God? Anyway, move on. The Bible says about the church. I've heard people say this, and you have as well. I've heard people say this, well, you know, I don't need to go to church to serve the Lord. And I don't think it's important to go to church. I've heard people say that. I've talked to people here in town that feel that way. Some people say, I love the Lord, but I can't stand going to church. That's like you coming up and telling me, Pastor, I love you, but I can't stand your family. What is it we're saying? God, we love you, but I can't go there and sit down in the service next to this person. The Bible says that Jesus loves the church. And he gave his life for it. You understand that? He loves the church. And he gave his life for the church. The Bible tells us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We need each other. I've told you this story a number of times. I've heard it since I've been a youngster, but I've heard our pastor preach it, and I preached it, mentioned it dozens of times here. There was a Sunday school teacher or superintendent, whatever. And one young man, stopped coming to Sunday school. So the Sunday school teacher decided he's going to go and visit this man and see what the situation was. And he said, when he went, he said, the man was sitting down on the floor, and he was just sitting down, and he had a fireplace there, and he had the fire going. And he's sitting down on the floor, looking discouraged, just looking at the fire, you know, daydreaming type of thing. And the Sunday school teacher came in, went over where he was at, never said anything to him, just went over, sat down on the floor, crossed his legs, sat down on the floor next to the guy that was looking at the fire. Both of them there looking at the fire. And pretty soon, the teacher took the tongs and reached in and took a coal out, just took it out of the fire, laid it on the slab there. And pretty soon that coal started to die out and go dark, black, cooled off. Never said a word. The man got the message, looked at him, he said, "I'll be there Sunday." At a point, what he was trying to say, if you get away from God's people and try to make it on your own, you're going to die spiritually. Okay, you will lose out spiritually. You may come to church and say, "Well, you know, I never got anything out of the service today." You got more out of it than you realize you got out of it. You understand that? There are times when you sit down to the table and you might not like canned soup and a ham sandwich. But I guarantee if you never had it by 6 o'clock in the evening, you're going to feel it. It might not have been all that pleasurable. It might not have been your favorite meal, but you needed it. As a lot of times you come to church and you say, "Well, I wish the pastor would preach something and get us all excited. I don't like them old hard sermons where he comes down and criticizes us." And I try not to do that anyway, but you understand. I don't like these type of services or sermons. But you need it sometimes more than you realize. We all do. Listen, when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself as well. You know? Is Jesus truly number one? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Paul said, "Brethren, do not be children in understanding." He said, however, he said, "In malice be babes, but in understanding be mature." Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, "I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. But even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" So he's saying we need to grow up spiritually. You know, and this is what he's saying. You know, so we need to be alert. This is what he's telling us there. Be alert. Stand firm. Act like men. And lastly, he says, be strong. Be strong. 2 Samuel 2, 12 and 10 and 12, rather, says, "Be of good courage and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God." Let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. Let us be strong for our families. Let us be strong for the church. It's time for us as Christians, you know, to grow up, to be strong, to stop demanding our own way. You know what? Children, when they're little babies, one of the characteristics of a baby, one of the things that you would understand in a baby is a baby always want their own way. You understand that? If they don't get their own way, they kick up a fuss, they start to scream, they start to cry, they start to kick around and everything else. They want their own way. You know? And when they're babies, you do all you can to help them out. But I tell you, if they get up 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old and they're still, you know, never grew out of that stage, you're going to have an awful mess on your hands. You understand that? But there's a lot of Christians that are still the same way today. They're still very touchy. Everybody say, "I love the pastor." Because if not, we're going to get mad now. But there's a lot of Christians that get very touchy sometimes because the pastor never shook my hand when I left the service. Oh, you know, he's talking to somebody else and I was there waiting for him to talk to me. And he never did get around. I just left. I don't put up with that. Carnal, that's right. But you understand? We need to grow up spiritually. And like we joke sometimes, it's not about you. It's not all about you. It's about him. You understand that? It's about him. Be strong. "I don't like the way the pastor preaches. He preaches too long." "I don't like the songs they sing." Oh, you sing that, I'm going somewhere else. Grow up. You understand that? We're here for him. It's not all about me or all about you or about my feelings or your feelings. It's about if we're worshiping God or not. And one sign of maturity in a baby, when a baby is growing up, is when they finally get to the stage and they start to think about other people, how other people feel. If you're always only in this for myself, I want to go to service, see what I can get out of it, you're coming for the wrong reason. We're supposed to come and give Him everything that we have. I said, Lord, I'm coming to worship You today. For the last, I don't know, 8 or 10 years, because before this used to be a little different time, but for the last 8 or 10 years, 10:30 Sunday mornings when we meet together as a body to worship the Lord. And some people still got a problem and say, what time church start? Oh, I didn't know it was so early as that. But I love the Lord. Number one priority in my life is Jesus. Now, we need to get serious about this. Be strong, grow up, endure. Actually, the word talks about be strong there, but it says continue being strong. In other words, continue growing. Some of the translations says, keep growing in your strength. Keep getting stronger. And you're not going to keep getting stronger by staying home on Sunday mornings or any other time when something's going on. You need each other. We need the body of Christ. This was God's design, not our design. This is not something man came up and says, that might be a good idea, you know, for us to get together once in a while to have a service. No, this was God's design. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Some people are going to be like that. And you can, listen, I've run myself ragged over the years, and I know a lot of you have as well. The cell leaders, you understand what I'm talking about. You can do everything in your power to try to encourage people to come and everything else, and finally you just get burned out yourself just trying to keep everything juggling yourself, you know. Now, somewhere along the line, somebody's got to take some responsibility of their own. You know, we'll be faithful, we'll do what we can do. You know, we're going to endure. I'm in this for the long run. I'm not in here until somebody gets mad at me and I'm going to quit and give up. I'm in this for the long run. And this is what God is saying to us. Be strong. Grow up. Be men. Continue getting stronger. And when it comes to your family, we need to understand the importance of standing and fighting for the family. And say, devil, you're not doing that to my family. Now, he may have had a heyday in the past. He may have, you know, run rampage through your family and everything else. And I understand that. And I understand. I'm not up here trying to give you the ideal and this is, you know, perfect, never have a problem ever after. Live happily ever after. I'm not saying that. But until Jesus comes back, we'll have to stand. We'll have to be strong. We'll have to endure. God's blessings are here. Jesus promised. He said, when people persecute you and revile you, He said, rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. There's blessings associated with it. But we need to be strong. Keep committed to the fight. Stay the course. And the stability that we need comes from God. You know that. Paul says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We stand in His strength. And here's one other thing for us to understand. Most battles take time to win. Most battles are going to take some time to win. You might be fighting something and you say, I don't know how I'm ever going to get through this. I might as well just throw in the towel. Well, you just lost when you throw in the towel. But you stick with it and say, listen, I'm going to fight this until the devil's driven back. I'm going to see this victory. I'm going to see this come to pass. Devil, you're not doing that to my family. And as I said, he may have come in and run rampage and everybody else, and you may have a hard battle to take control of it and pull it back on the course again. But listen, let's get our priorities straight. And we put Jesus first, and we start pulling together right. All of a sudden, things start falling into place. But if you put your career first, you put your hobby first, you put something else first, sports first or anything else, you're going to find out that it's going to be an awful hard thing. Some people put finances first. You know, and this is why so many fights and arguments in families sometimes. People fight over money and financial things. Because we got our sight off the most important thing, which is Jesus. See, Jesus said no one can serve God and mammon. No one can serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. And if you love money, you're going to soon get away from God. You know something? I was listening to a fellow preach a while ago, and I never thought of it this way before, even though it makes sense now. He said, every time the Bible talks about money, it's called unrighteous mammon, filthy lucre. You know, it's always used in that sense. Because what it is, what's the right word? We crave for it. I remember years ago, a fellow said to me, Pastor, he said, I want you to go to a meeting with me. And he was a salesman with a certain company. And we went into the meeting. Now, he didn't feel this way either, but he didn't know what was going to be there. But when we got to the meeting, this fellow came out, and, you know, he's all slicked up and everything else, and the lights were all shining on him, and he was almost like a big movie star or something. And he started shouting, you know, getting everybody all riled up and everything else was stirred up. And he said, what are we here for? Money! What's the most important thing? Money! And I thought, man, I'm in the wrong meeting. This is not my priority in life. My priority is Jesus. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect in that, by no means. I stumble and make mistakes probably more than any of you. But we need to get our focus right, that Jesus has got to be the focus. Jesus has got to be number one, then is your family, then is your church, then is your career. And if you mess up that anywhere, you're going to run into trouble. Some people are so caught up in their children. Now, don't misunderstand. I love my children. There's nothing on this planet that I love any more than my family. But some people get so caught up in their children, you know, that all they think about is their children. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. They don't want to go to church on Sunday morning, so I won't take them. You know, oh no, they'd rather be involved with hockey on Sunday morning, so I take them to hockey or some other sport. That sounds nice. But I guarantee you, if you don't make Jesus, and they'll see it in your life, if you don't make Jesus number one in your life, everything else is going to fall to pieces. You understand that? So for our families, let's get our focus straight. Let's be alert for our families. When the devil is trying to maneuver something to bring into our family that causes our family to get away from church and get away from God and get away from serving him, let's say, devil, you don't do that. I won't get involved in that. We had, in one of our churches, we had a young people in the church that were involved with hockey. And every Sunday morning, they would have practice. And I got to give credit, these are just teenagers. Every Sunday morning was practice. And sometimes they come to church, sometimes they never. And finally, they talked amongst themselves. They're just teenagers. They had enough sense. They said, you know, this is not good. You know, we're late getting to church, or we don't get to church at all. And both of them gave it up. Gave up the hockey. Just teenagers. I can remember when we were just young people ourselves. Now, we're growing up as children. We went to Bible studies, prayer meetings on Wednesday night just with the adults. I mean, we never had different. We did have a youth group on Friday nights, but on Wednesday nights we always went to the youth to the adult prayer meeting. And I can remember myself and Pat's brother, who joined the air cadets. And when we joined, I forget what night was on now. But when we joined, it was okay. We were going, you know, and we enjoyed it. We were in it for about a year or so, and all of a sudden they changed the night to the Wednesday night time slot. And I think it was 2 weeks, myself and Dave, Pat's brother, we went to the air cadets, and both of us felt, this is not right. God is our first priority. Now, you might think, well, Pastor, you're too strict. This, you can do what you want with your life. This is how I feel. I got to do it with my life. And we went to the leader there in the air cadets and said, listen, we're finishing. And they couldn't change the night back and stuff like that. We left on good terms. We weren't mad at them or anything like that and different things. But we left because, to me, that was more important than the air cadets. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, a bit too far out, that is. That's fine. You know, I'm not, you know, but I'm just saying, we need, if we're going to make Jesus number one, let's make him number one. Okay, let's make him the love of our lives. And as we do that, everything else will fall into place.